a balanced minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's rise to our feet and welcome Pastor Yemi Davis.
Can we lift our hands and give glory to Jesus for Wafbeg 2023? When we are grateful for what we have received, God multiplies it. Lift your voice and thank Him. You can be a bit specific for what you taught me through Pastor Boju on Tuesday. I had an encounter on Thursday. For what you taught me through Joshua Selman, can you lift your voice and mention it before the Lord and say it specifically? Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you taught me through Pastor Muyiwa, the clarity as I pray in the Holy Spirit and the edifice, the spiritual heights, and I can see further, I can see far. Father, we are grateful for this global conference. We are grateful for your hand upon this conference. All the glory to you in Jesus' mighty name. Someone shouted amen. I count it a huge privilege to speak again at this 10th anniversary of Wafbeg. And I'm saying this, somebody else could have been here today. It could have been somebody, anybody else in the body of Christ. But that the Holy Spirit picked me, I count it a huge privilege. And Daddy, thank you. You don't like it more, we call you Daddy. Let's appreciate that deep for you, Daddy, for blessing us. Can you shake the hands of your neighbor to the right or the left and just smile? Make sure you are smiling as we run through this together. Glory to God. Okay, put your hands together for Jesus as we take our seats. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Wisdom is knowing what to do before the event. Regret is knowing what to do after the damage. Many people confuse wisdom with regret. Anybody can look back and say, I shouldn't have taken that step in 2010. I shouldn't have said that thing in 2015. And they begin to describe how we should have done it. That is not wisdom. It is regret. Wisdom is knowing what you should say when you should say it. What you should do when you should do it. So that when you now look back, it will be with regret. It will be with thanksgiving. We must crave God's wisdom every day. God's agenda, that's why he said wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 3 verse 13. Proverbs 3 verse 13 shows us some of the virtues of wisdom. Proverbs 3 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. What's the first word there? Happy. You can't really be happy or joyful in life without the wisdom of God. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Verse 14. For her proceeds, fruits, are better than the profits of silver and again than fine gold. She. That means she's, you know, fruitful, right? Like a mother. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared to her. Length of days is where it is wisdom that helps us to live long. Foolishness can cut short our lives. It's appointed unto man to die once. It's not that there's an appointed day. I don't know, it's appointed to die once. But that appointment is determined by the flow of wisdom in your life. If you live anyhow, you can die before your time. If you walk in God's wisdom, you elongate your days. Let's go back to that verse. Length of days is in our right hand, and then in our left hand, riches and honor. Look at this. Riches and honor, combining it with length of days. And then verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. Those two things, we need it. These are heavenly stuff. Peace. A pleasant life. They are all virtues of God's wisdom. No wonder Paul kept praying that God will give us the spirit of understanding in His word, how to apply His word. I'm a stickler for the practical application of God's word. Because when we leave church services or even conferences, we get into the realities of our day-to-day living, isn't it? Your marriage, your health, your business, your career. So if what you are picking in church will not influence those areas, then it's almost like a wasted time. No wonder I said, occupy till I come. In your business, let the wisdom of God flow. In your marriage, let the wisdom of God flow in all that you do. So that when Christ comes back, it's supposed to be a continuum. There's a level of peace you are getting here, and then you just multiply that peace. Glory to God. Now, I want to speak about the sound of blessing. The sound of blessing. I saw something many years ago that helped me. That history is shaped by the blessing. The way generations turn out, the way people shine, the way people emerge, is not like a mystery. It is the force of the blessing that shapes history. And when you understand that, it will begin to affect your behavior. By certain behavioral patterns, it's going to be hard for some people to flourish. It is not God hindering them, but they are the ones blocking the flow of the blessing. It's like electricity. We have all these amazing gadgets here, this speaker, the lights. They are so beautiful, but without electricity, they are nothing. The lights, the speaker, even this microphone. Now, you cannot see electricity, but you can see its effect. And then we have, at least in our country, we have half current. We have low current. And we have full current. When the current is very low, some gadgets will not work. You understand that? But when it's full, everything is just blaring and clear. Let's look at two examples and then I build on that. Genesis 9 verse 20. You need to place a high premium on the flow of the blessing. Look at this. And Noah began to be a farmer and he planted a vineyard, verse 21. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. He was drunk. Noah was drunk, you know. Ham, he's the second son. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brothers outside. Now, he spoke about it wrongly. Shem is the first child. Japheth is the youngest. So we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Then Noah awoke from his wine and knew it will always come out. Somebody will speak about it. And knew what his younger son had done to him. And then verse 25, he started releasing the currents that will shape history. Then he said, cursed be Canaan. Who is Canaan? The son of Ham. It's unfortunate. He never said, cursed be Ham. He just went straight to his generation. He said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be to his brethren. Those words will shape how, if Canaan, except by mercy, if that guy does business technology to work. Then he said, bless be the Lord God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. 27. May God enlarge what? That's the third child. And may he dwell in the tents of, and may that Canaan be his servant. That, those statements can arrange the next 200 years of history. So I now studied looking at Abraham. God said, look at Abraham. Abraham came from Shem. He would never have come from Ham. Because there's an embargo on that line. Our behavior matters. In the flow of the blessings. I saw another one in Solomon and his son called Rehoboam. Many of us are aware of the story of Solomon and Rehoboam. Solomon made certain mistakes and God got angry. And God said, what you have done out of the 12, is it 12 tribes? I will yank, how many? 10. I'll take 10. God said, okay, because of David, my servant, I will not do it in your time. I will do it in your son's time called Rehoboam. Was Rehoboam there? No. So I looked at it. I said, And then when Rehoboam became the king, let's read some things. I want to help us see this by the Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 12 from verse 6. I'd like you to be as alert as possible and see that the blessing influences the way you make decisions. The other side also affects the way you make decisions. Is there a force higher than education, higher than talents and giftings? They presented two things before this young king. One particular decision would have made him to flourish. The other one would have wrecked his kingdom. And he looked at the two. And he picked the one that would cause him to lose the kingdom. That means the force of the blessing is stronger. It's a force on you. Let's look at verse 6. First Kings. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he's still in, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? I want to make a decision. Then they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people. And I hope all our leaders in this place, pastors all over the world, this is a classic for leadership. Okay. He says, if you be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, that's how you talk to them, then they will be your servants. Next verse. But he rejected. That rejection is not him. It's a decision made. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Next one. And he said unto them, what advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, listen, the yoke which your father have put on us. Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus shall you speak to these people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made the yoke heavy, but you shall make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. So the ordinary eye, you should know it's not right. But there's a bigger force controlling you. Then, and now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will, can you imagine? Next verse. So Jeroboam, a lot of people came to Jeroboam the third day, And the king had directed, came back to me the third day, next verse. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to... Who speaks like that if nothing else is controlling him or her? But I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with wheat, but I will chastise you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord has spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Next, now when Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. So your tents, O Israel. And 10 moved out. It was Dr. Copeland that said, it was the blessing on Joseph that taught him to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. We see how what we call curse can affect how somebody makes a decision. I've been a pastor for a while, and sometimes you see people make decisions and you wonder, is there anything controlling you? Do you have to marry this person? Yes, I have to marry the person. Almost like I want to enter trouble. Almost like something must happen to me. I'm telling you. Do you have to do this? Go and think about it. And then the person just picks the one that will create crisis. So when I started praying and God showed me, he said, go higher. Talent is not enough. Giftings are not enough. The blessing is superior to talent and giftings. Now in the new covenant, in the new testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, we are already blessed in Christ. Okay, we're already blessed with Abraham's blessings, but the enemy understands this principle. That is why it comes with what we call blessing blockers. Understand? It's like, you can have electricity in your neighborhood at times, and your own home will not have electricity, isn't it? Something is blocking it. Something is hindering it. It could just be one little wire somewhere, or one connection not okay, but that there is power in your environment does not mean you have it in your house. Until you tweak that wire, until you put it right, and then you notice that the thing begins to flow. Like Pastor Muyiwa was saying, maybe God gives you an instruction and you disobeyed it. I want to go to GRA. And God is saying, go to Tanke. You understand? And then you refuse. The blessing stops. Electricity stops. So what many of us would like to do is, if the electricity is not flowing, to get back to the covenant board and be checking what could be blocking. Because if that thing is blocked for 2 years, it will show in your life. You'll be making very horrible decisions, taking wrong steps. And if you don't deal with it on time, you will be like a Christian that's supposed to be blessed, but appearing like you're a cursed person. And some of us have met people like that. You wonder, is he not born again? Is he a new Christian person? He prays in tongues. But something has been blocking electricity. Oh, you know, even in our homes at times, just put on the TV, it's not coming on. You go out to the back, you be checking it. You put it on. The fridge is working. Everything is working. Why is the TV not working? And then you just see one small, socket just out of joint. And as you hit it back, the TV comes on. But you don't hit it back, the TV will not show. We must remove blessing blockers. Blessings shape history. Nobody shines by chance. You used to think that God, okay, let me just look at that stage. Okay, oh, I like Pastor Kpoju. I like his height. Let him shine. No, there would have been certain things aligned with that opens that electricity. Noah, Genesis 8:20. Noah came out of the ark. Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar after he came out. And the Lord did what? Are you here this afternoon? He did it on the earth. Where did they smell it? The things we do on earth smells in heaven. This affected me. He didn't sacrifice in heavenly places in that sense. It was on the earth. And the scripture says the smoke or the aroma. Then the Lord now said in his heart. That means what he did is commanding God's decision. Then the Lord said, okay, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although they are not okay, but I will not do it again. Noah did something. You have to be proficient in working with God. When you learn from the story of Jacob and Esau, when, a father is telling Esau, go and bring me venison, such as I love, that my soul may give you electricity, premium. A unique line. And the mother had this, this is it, or if you miss, or you miss everything. It's not whether you are talented or gifted. He now told Jacob, now you must collect, if you miss it, you have missed it. And Jacob, with the mom, connived, and then when Jacob got that electricity, he ran away. By the time he came back, Jacob became the firstborn. So blessings are very powerful. So let's look at two or three things that help this, I call it blessing catalysts. Number one is your words. It's very basic. We've had it severally. This is a very powerful faith convention. But I wanted to see it in a new way, because the way people speak in church at times is not the way they speak at home. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are where? Huh? Hey, why did he even start with death? People die before they die. You don't go to a funeral, I'm saying that, this life is binti. My life is not binti. All these things you carry traditionally and curse yourself. This life is nothing. Anybody can go at any time. You are registering your date before it's time. Anybody cannot go at any time. With long life, it will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Anybody can go. This Nigeria is killing me. It will not kill you. I'm tired of this country. I hate my president. Death and life. Your tongue is more powerful than Satan. Tongue. What I want to even say is that you use it. When I do an anointing service in our church and I'm feeling the anointing and I get home, I just pour it on the family. Because not for just I feel something. No, it's electricity. Pour it. I go to my wife, the children, just pour. Just pour. I declare you are distinguished amongst your equals. You stand out. Just pour it out. Death and life. Give yourself more life. I said it some weeks ago. Whoever becomes president in our nation this year, my life will go better and better and better and better. I might not be able to control the election team. I might not be able to. I will do my own voting. But whoever wins, I have the blessing of Isaac. We flourish in time of famine. Glory to God. When men say things are getting worse, I will be saying it's my best moment. Can you take some 2 minutes to declare something concerning this year, where you are? Prophesy. When men say they are experiencing the worst of times, I will be saying I'm experiencing the best of times. The best of times. Say it loud. Say it. I'm experiencing the best of time. 2023 is far more glorious than 2022. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Never speak evil of any part of your body. My leg is killing me. You can attract arthritis like that. You don't flourish in a nation you slander. On social media, I've seen people say things. Even if nobody knew who said it, your tongue knew where it came from. Sir, I was criticizing Benson Idahosa when I was a young Christian. Many, many years ago. And when God corrected me, I wrote him a letter. He was a young boy. I wrote him a letter. And he replied, Idahosa World Outreach. Yemi, I saw your letter. Know that I have forgiven you. And my heart blesses you. I have it in my fire. I'm not sure I'll be here if I didn't settle that. Because it's that line. You understand? It is the line. You don't inherit in a land, in a line you have abused. And that's how it shapes history. That's how it shapes history, because this is the line. And they want to come and preach the world back and bless people, and then you have cut it off, they will pick somebody else. But they wouldn't know why they pick somebody else. It is that thing. Blessings shape history. The next thing I want to say is honor. Honor. No wonder scripture says honor all men. Because you can't be selective in honor. Whether somebody is black or white, yellow or green, Christian or non-Christian, honor people. Greet people politely. First Timothy chapter 5 verse 1. Dr. Mike Murdock went to preach in a church. An elderly leader in the church. And the man did something wrong. And Mike Murdock confronted him. And spoke harshly to him. Because he was justified. So he left. Some weeks after, he said some particular doors that were open to him in the entire nation of US just shut down. The man called everybody to shut it down. He now went to God to pray that, Lord, this is unfair. What I was telling him was the truth. And the Holy Ghost said, go to 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not. It's not an admonition. Do not what? But what do you do? Can we have any other version you can find, my friends? Any version? Because, man, my dad is useless. Your dad will not be useless. your own dad. Never speak. Never speak. Never speak. You can't talk like that to your friend. Because these are the prophetic accidents that happen that provoke certain statements, like that of Noah, on people that affects them for 20 years. There are many gifted in the body of Christ, whether in ministry or in industry, that should have blossomed far, but they hurt someone or did something to someone somewhere at the wrong place, said the wrong thing, and that provocation created a barrier over them. It's not that God doesn't love them, but God abides by those principles. It could be as simple as how you left the church. Or how you left a relationship. How you close one phase determines how the next phase is. I had a CD by Creflo Dollar many years ago. I was on campus. He said, when they started their church, it wasn't flourishing. It wasn't working. They did outreaches. They did everything. Nothing worked. And I went to God, what is the problem? I said, God told him, I don't like the way you left your former church. I had it. Except I was in a dream. I had it. You know, I said, what should I do? God said, go back. Go and apologize to that pastor. And because you are an associate and what you did affected that church, I want you to ask if you could allow you to speak to the people. So Crefo went back, and then the man had a good reunion, and then on a Sunday morning he came and apologized and had a great time. He said, as he left the building, he felt dew on his head. There was no rain. And God said, now we can move on. And ministry exploded. So there's another force that is more than I can preach, or I have 2 master's degree, or I am beautiful, I should get married. There are higher forces that shape how history is formed. So what do you want to now do? Instead of thinking about curses, go and provoke blessings. Provoke it. Ephesians 6:1. Provoke blessings. Provoke it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for what? Honor your father and, which is the first commandment with, what happens? That, look at this verse. Can you see this verse? It's in the new covenant. That thing you see that, well, many of the things we are praying for is in that word. Breakthrough, joy. Honor will take you further than intelligence. Honor. 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 Behavior. Don't be a Pentecostal. Because you're so educated in your office, you talk to your boss anyhow. I can take this in this office. You can take it to, that man is signing some things. You can take it. You can take it. You can take it. Don't provoke your husband to a level where he curses you as a wife. And children, don't provoke your parents, whether spiritual parents or natural parents. Rather provoke, you know, I gave my dad some things. I mean, my wife and I honor our parents a lot. And he said, you have made me happy. Your children will do to you in your own time what will make you happy. In your own time. Now, the things that makes him happy is not the things that will make me happy. The one that will make me happy in my own time is when the kids can buy me a jet. You understand that kind of thing? So that means he's already introducing capacity into the children. I don't know whether I'm making sense. I know your pastor hurt you, or your husband hurt you, or your dad or mom hurt you. You should be smarter than that. Your dad is 85. You are 25. Who needs the blessing? You're not fighting somebody else at the departure lounge. You are just entering the airport. You're not cursing your dad. You're fighting him. He's not talking to you back. Okay, if the two of the things you say prevail, who will suffer more? There are many of us, after this meeting, we need to call someone and send him a gift. Let them say some things. When those statements were made over Jacob, it looked like nothing happened. But under 20 years, history was formed. You can't compare Esau with Jacob forever. And that's how life is. As generations evolve, you see two people coming up. After some 20 years, one is like light and one is like something else. The other one might be more gifted, but the blessing shapes the future. So all these blessing channels that God has given us, go and open it. Yeah, you're allowing it to flourish, removing the blockades. For instance, when we give, there was a way Cain gave, and God said, I won't have it from you. He gave. And scripture says God did not respect him. And then the Genesis 4, please. 3. Thank you, sir. And in the process of time, he came to pass that Cain brought. He brought. So, you know, 34 can be F. 10 can be F. You can take a step, but you won't answer. He brought, not that he did like this. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Next one. Abel also brought of what? Can you help me with another version of this verse? Just to see how, any other version. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. Next one. But he did not respond to Cain. So I said to people, you see that you are serving God canically or abelically. You are in a team in church. They said meeting is 7 p.m. You arrive at 7:45. I say cross your leg there. But if it's embassy to collect visa, it says 7 a.m. You get there by 3 a.m. You're serving God, not the pastor. He said, those who honor me, I will honor. Honor begins with God. God, honor begins with him. Honor him with your body. He said your body is what? Do you understand that? The way you keep your own house. That's the way you are. You love your house. You put it tidy. So when we talk about eating habits, taking care of your body, it's not cosmetics. It's honoring the Holy Ghost inside. You can't just be eating anyhow. Giving anyhow. It's the temple. He's the temple. Honor him. They shouldn't be telling you not to fornicate. All those things. He's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That scripture says, I will honor those who honor me. Honor God. Honor him with your time. You don't wake up in the morning and the first thing is Facebook. You know, the phone has become like somebody's second wife now, isn't it? The phone. You say it's like an idol now. You wake up in the morning! David said, I slept and I woke because Facebook sustained me, or alarm sustained me, it's God. And then next thing, you are chatting. First thing, this is the day you have made. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Everything must wait. With you, all those things will work. I reverence you with my life. It could be 7 minutes. It's okay. Honor him with your time, with your body. Honor him with your resources. Can I have one example? One of the protocol guys. A guy, anybody? Just one person. Thank you, sir. What's the name? Kane, how are you? You're tall. Taller than me. Are you married? But you're handsome. What? You have somebody? You have somebody? Have you looked in that direction? Okay. God is good. Now when Kenny, right? When Kenny works for 30 days or a month and they pay him ₦500,000. Mm-hmm. That money is not money. It's the time at work, intellect at work, energy at work, experience at work, sweating at work, hold up in traffic, you know, all those things together is what they've given him for. When he brings out tithe from it, it's not money that God is seeing. God is seeing the intelligence I gave him is bringing it back. The strength I gave him is bringing it back. The academics, that's why those things now begin to flourish. So
So it's not about I give tithe. No, we worship God with our respect because money represents a lot. Do you know what people do for a whole month? And after everything, take 50,000. You now bring out of the Lord, I offer you this. It's representing your energy, your stress, your education, your, and he gave you all those things in the first place. And then he blesses those things back. So you honor him with your resources to tell him, even the education, some of my colleagues are dead. So he gave me life. The intelligence, the clothing, you gave it to me. So I honor you with this. He now replenishes those areas in such a way that you produce more. So the intellect begins to manifest more. The energy is flourishing. You're healthy. And as you do that more, the money from 500,000 increases to 1.2 million. Amen. And then you now begin to tempt God and say, Father, I will give you this 1.2 million as a sacrifice because you are my all in all. And God smells it and says, he, Kenny, what have you done? And then they call you from Switzerland and say, ah, there is, we saw you on LinkedIn. We stumbled on you. They stumbled, but blessing found you. Okay. Blessing orchestrated your pathway. We found you on LinkedIn and can you take this job? And then your wife, you know, you now move to Switzerland. Amen. Put your hands together for Kenny. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17:13 as I close. Somebody has claimed Kenny there. They're going to Switzerland. If you repay good with evil, evil will not depart from your house. These are major blessing blockers. There are people that they've done well too. They now respond with evil, thinking they are smart. It blocks the blessings. And things just for that, things are happening. What's wrong with this person's family? Why is it like that? If you ask them and they sit down, they will tell you some things. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost at times, the Holy Ghost brings those things out that you need to resolve this one before we move forward. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. The way forward, I want to encourage us to mind our behavior. Today affects tomorrow. Things done in secret affect what happens in the open. Either with God, in your prayers, in your givings. I might not know about your givings, but Noah sacrificed and God smelt it and pronounced something that you're enjoying from today. Things done in secret. So you're not doing these things to impress me or anybody. You are doing it to impress your own line. Your behavior. If God has given you any instruction, take it serious. He told Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. Like he told Pastor Omu, you want to go to Tanke. Jonah refused and everything stopped working. And I looked at it, after all the drama of the fish, by chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came again. Arise, go to Nineveh. Your last act of disobedience stops it. You have to get back there and resolve it. He said, it's Nineveh we are going. We will not change it. It's Nineveh. Obedience. Avoid unforgiveness. It's a major blessing blocker. He said, it opens the door to torment. It just blocks the blessings. Anything that will block electricity from entering this auditorium, we always want to remove it, isn't it? Because without it, this service can't hold effectively. The aircon will not work. The speakers will not work. So anything that will block the flow of this blessing is already there in Christ. It's flowing in heavenly places. But remove the blockage so it can manifest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then if you have made mistakes and the Holy Ghost begins to reveal those things to you, that is why we plead for mercy. The devil hates mercy. He hates it. Proverbs 28 verse 13. I did some things sometimes. and certain things were not working. I prayed. When you bind Satan a lot and the thing is still there, that's not a problem. You understand? You bound him, you tied him, chained him for 7 months, and the thing is not, that means it's not from him. Or there's something, and it's so. I said, Lord, what is the problem? Hey, my friend. When he revealed revelation, I asked for mercy. I went to go and study the story of Nebuchadnezzar. How when you miss it, 7 years can be stagnant. But mercy found him. Mercy, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Great is your mercy towards me. You know those blind Bartimaeus, they didn't want to ask that story. Son of David! Whether this blindness is coming from grandfather, have mercy. But when I was asking for mercy, he told me some things I have to do. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not what? But if you want to experience mercy, there has to be not just confession. There are some steps that you might need to take. But if you value shaping history, like I'm privileged to do today, this is the 10th Wafbeck, and I'm preaching. I think it's the hand of God. Then whatever you need to do, you should be broken. That's why pride is the enemy of covenant people. You'll be broken enough to go and apologize or beg, or they call it in the old parlance restitution. The prodigal son would never have seen restoration if he stood by that place and said, Father, your word says, if I confess my sins, you are faithful just to forgive me. I'm sorry the way I did. And they now stay there. No, for that one, you know. No. I will arise and go back to my father. And guess what? As he got back, all the things he re-asked, they didn't allow him to say it. It's just for you to take this step. God even needs to. But the moment you decide to take this step, restoration starts. It's a law in the realm of the spirit. Parents in the house, be more patient with your children. They will make mistakes because words from you can turn a first child into a slave in the generation. So please be patient with them. They will make some things wrong. And teach them. Teach them. Teach your children. Some people do some things outside. The wife will not know. Look at Achan. He was stealing. The wife did not know. And what he was doing wrecked the entire household. Let's be smarter than all these traps of Satan. Let's ask God for mercy where mercy is needed. And if there's any step we need to put things back. And, in our homes, when electricity is out, you have to lose quiet. Everything's dry. And then when it comes back, there's this, whoo, and the fan is moving. There's life where there is blessing. Are you blessed today? Please rise up on your feet. Let's pray. There are words my pastor have said over me, like Pastor Muiwa said, that it's in a document, it's in a file, it's more than two estates to me, because those things will come to pass. Especially not general words, they are words spoken over my life by my parents. I have two parents, two parents in love and my parents. All those things, heap it on yourself, it will shape the future and the future of your children. Lift your hands and give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Great is your mercy towards me. Your kindness towards me.